Tavana ke livarta.
Avena vrindavana ke livarta.
Lupte titam kyapi yatong vishishya.
Lupte titam kyapi
Kripamritain. Kripamritain abhi shishecha devas. Tatraiva rupam cha sanatanam cha. Kalena vrindavana keli varta. Lupte titam kyapayitum vishishya. Kripamritenabhishishecha devas. Tatraiva rupam cha sanatanam cha. Okay, I'll come back to this a little later, because actually I was going to speak on another verse, but there was a mix-up concerning which verse I want to speak on, because there's another verse which is very similar to this, which I'll read now. The verse we've just chanted is from the Chaitanya Chandradaya by Kavi Karnapur. And a similar verse is at the beginning of this chapter, chapter 19 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I'll read now. And I'll come back to this verse which we chanted just a little later. So, the first verse of this chapter. This chapter is, the Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami.
Vrindavani yang rasa keli vartang kalena luptang nija shaktim utkaha sancharya rupe vyatanot punacha punasa Prabhur vidhau prag iva loka srishtim.
Translation. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So these verses are very similar. This chapter, Srila, the Lord, means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. So the first 110 verses or so of this chapter, they are concerned, it's the introduction to this, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Rupa Goswami at Prayag, and they also met Vallabhbhatta. So there's this verse which Vrindavani yam rasa keli vartam, that's very similar to another series of verses, Sanskrit verses, which are interposed between the introductory section of this chapter and the actual instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami. Sanskrit verses, which means most of the text is in Bengali. Although we'll find in the instructions to Rupa Goswami there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes many Sanskrit verses from various scriptures which are quoted here, and then the explanation is given in Bengali. So there's the first verse introduces the topic of the chapter, and then there are other verses which are again Sanskrit verses, beginning from text 119, which is the verse written on the board, which again give an introduction, as Krishadas Kaviraj again, Well, he actually starts to give the instructions, or to describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, to record them. So he does that by inserting three verses from Chaitanya Chandradaya Natak of Kavi Karnapa. So those verses are Kalena Vrindavana Keli Varta Lupteti Tam Kyapa Yatong Vishishya Kripamritena Vishishecha Devas Tatraiva Rupangcha Sanatanangcha. In the course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. Ya prageva priyo guna ganaya gadha badho pimukto. Let's see if I can find a chanda for this. This seems to be similar. So. Ya prageva priya guna ganaya gadha badho pimukto. Ge hadya sadrasa eva paro murta eva pyamurtaha. Prema la pair dhiratara parishvanga rangai prayage tang shri rupang samam anupe anupame anupame nanu jagraha devaha. From the very beginning, Srila Rupa Goswami was deeply attracted by the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, he was permanently relieved from family life. Srila Rupa Goswami and his younger brother Vallabh were blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the Lord was transcendentally situated in his transcendental eternal form, at Prayag, he told Rupa Goswami about transcendental ecstatic love of Krishna. The Lord then embraced him very fondly and bestowed all his mercy upon him. Then a verse which is also engraved on a stone at the samadhi of Rupa Goswami in Vrindavana. Priya swarupe, dayata swarupe, prema swarupe, sahajabhirupe, nijana rupe, prabhureka rupe, tatana rupe, svavilasa rupe. Alliteration. Indeed, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Swarup Damodar, Priya Swarupa. I mean, it can be translated in various ways. Means his very form was very dear. It also means means Rupa Goswami's very form is very dear. And also, he's very dear to Swarup, means Swarup Damodar. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Swarup Damodar, was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was very, very dear to the Lord. Being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. His name is Rup. Rup means beauty. So, Rupa Goswami is very beautiful. Why very beautiful? Because he is the Rup. He is the Rup means beauty and Rup means form. So he's very beautiful because he is the very form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love. Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. He very carefully followed the principles enunciated by the Lord. That's very interesting, seeing as people who claim to be Rupa Anuga, Raga Anuga, some of them claim that you don't have to follow any principles because it's just all prem. But if they're actually going to be Rupa Anuga, then their raga has to be anuga, following the example, not just following your own speculative spontaneity. And he was a competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his mercy to Srila Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literatures. So the translation is very inspiring and beautiful and very nicely phrased by Srila Prabhupada, who was known among his god brothers as Kavi. Bengali pronunciation is Kavi. After he had submitted on the occasion of the Gurudev's Vyasa Puja, a poem which was very much appreciated by Srila Bhaktisthan Sarasvatiaga, poem in English, adore, adore you all, a happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than me. So he was known as Kavi, and here also you see Srila Prabhupada's rendition. The subject matter, the verse itself is very beautiful. The subject matter is very beautiful. So that's written by Kavi Karnapur. He's known as Kavi Karnapur. The first thing he spoke was poetry, because he was silent. He was a dumb child. His parents were very concerned. Son of Shivananda Sen. So they brought him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he told the boy, you chant Hare Krishna, and he didn't. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I induced the whole world to chant Hare Krishna, but he won't chant. Another day he came, he'd never spoken anything, and just in the assemble of all devotees, he spoke beautiful verse. No one knew the verse, because it was composed by himself. Praising the beauty of Krishna. So that was his first words. So he was Kavi from the verb. Of course, composed by himself means that Krishna is the intelligence, he's giving that, and that manifests in different people in different ways. So we can see that what he's writing is very poetic. He's not just called Kavi just because you have to call him something. Just like some child may be born and they give him the name of Kavindra or something like this. They give him the name, Kavi. Just a name, but he doesn't have that quality. But maybe in remembrance of those who have, but actually Kavi Karnapur is a great poet. Now, there is a whole science in the Vedic culture and in other cultures of analysis of poetry. We see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he was quite expert in that in his youth, to the shock and disappointment of Keshav Kashmiri. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu analyzed, there's so many faults in the poetry. And he not only found faults, but he found qualities that even Keshav Kashmiri hadn't found. So there's a great science of poetic analysis. There's not much in the modern world. Poetry is not much appreciated. Some places, in the Arab-speaking world, poetry is a big thing. Surprising, we generally think of the Arab world nowadays of not being very high culture, although it was at one time. But that's, and in Pakistan, the Urdu poetry is a big thing. Maybe they imbibe that from the Arabs. And other place I know is Wales, the Welsh language. They have, I won't try and say it because there's Welsh has its own pronunciation. It's written in English, Eisteddfod, but I have no idea how it's pronounced in Welsh. So they have, it's a big thing, a big event in Wales. All poets come together every year and they recite their poetry. So, elements of poetry are, obviously the language should sound very nice, so we can hear from this, Priyasurupe, Dayatisurupe, there's the ornament of alliteration, means the same sound is repeated again and again. And there are actually rules in Sanskrit poetry for composition to make it poetic. Even the worst composer of Sanskrit can't help but, if they follow the rules, they can't help but being at least somewhat poetic if they follow the rules. because there'll be certain number of syllables in every line. Even this Bengali Krishnadas Kaviraj has composed, it's mostly in a certain meter. It's poetry. It rhymes and it's in a certain meter. Paya, I believe it's called. There are 14 syllables in each line. So it should sound very nice. It should be expressive. It should touch the heart. What is the use of poetry if it simply goes in the ears but it doesn't make the head spin? That's one verse is quoted here. There are many such verses in poetic traditions throughout the world. But the best poetry has to not just touch your heart, but it should be with something meaningful. We find that poetry and song, it can be very expressive, but it doesn't really mean anything. Just like I was talking to you yesterday, the day before, about I saw on some TV in some airport somewhere, someone singing this famous song of the 1960s, A Whiter Shade of Pale. And it doesn't really mean anything, but the way it's, the very tune and the way it's sung, it gives a strong sense of nostalgia, although it doesn't really mean anything. Just the very way it's sung makes it sound nostalgic. And there are many songs like that I remember from my childhood. I sit and watch as tears go by. You know that one? Keith Richards, Rolling Stones. It's atypical of Rolling Stones, but Keith Richards, when he wasn't shooting himself up with heroin, maybe he was shooting himself up with heroin, he composed a song, it is the evening of the day, I sit and watch as children play. I can't remember some of the next line, and then I sit and watch as tears go by. Or, anyway, it doesn't matter what the words are. But it doesn't really mean anything. It's just, and people have this feeling, they have an induced sense of nostalgia, but it's just a feeling, that's all. But it has no connection to anything of any reality. So the great quality of the Vaishnava poetry is that it's not just some poetry. There's so many love poems, Shakespeare's sonnets, love poems, this, that. In Sanskritam also, the Meghdoot, it's a love poem. Someone is calling out to the cloud, you're going over there, you're going that way, tell my lover this. But it's just some imagination and meaningless. So the great attribute of Vaishnava poetry is that it is full of rasa, but it's not the mundane rasa. It's the actual rasa. We find in the Antya Lila also that the Jara Kavi, the mundane poet, is chastised for being mundane and trying to bring his mundane conceptions into understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also, one of his verses in the, what is that, Godruma Bhajanopadesha, he says that the Jara Kavya, that is despicable, even though it seems nice, but the real Kavya, the real poetry, is that glorifying the Lord. So anyway, I wasn't going to speak about Kavya so much, but I somehow got into that. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's also known as Kaviraj. And his poetry is just the very sound. Here we have a Bengali verse following these three. Emoto karnapo likeshtaneshtane prabhu kripa koilo joiche rupa shanatane. So even if you don't understand Bengali, you can just the very sound of it is very sweet. And it's very meaningful also. Emoto, in this way, karnapo, kavi karnapo. Likhe, he writes, stane stane, in different places. Prabhu Kripa Koilo Joyche Rupa Sanatane. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made mercy, it literally means made mercy, gave mercy to Rupa and Sanatan. So the translation is given here. The characteristics of Srila Rupa Goswami have thus been described in various places by the poet Kabi Karnapur. An account has also been given of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his causeless mercy upon Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami. Oh, Prabhupada's translated differently to the way I translated it. He's taken the two lines as separate, all right? I joined the meaning together. So it could be taken either way. So this Chaitanya Charitamrita is poetic. It's the ultimate the canonical work of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Canonical, that is in Sanskrit, pramanik. The whole teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are giving in essence from the both tattva, philosophical understanding, and rasa, which are not separate, but they are or rasa, they cannot and should not be separated, but rasa is generally appreciated while tattva is understood. So everything is there, all the philosophy, all whatever Jiva Goswami gave in great detail in the Sandarbhas is given in essence in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very beautifully also, descriptions of the pastimes and form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So everything is there very beautifully. And here at the beginning of this chapter, getting back to the verse I'm supposed to be speaking on, is an extremely profound and important statement, which I never really thought about until yesterday when we were reading it. And as far as I know, this subject hasn't been commented at length on by our acharyas. So the point is, Vrindavani yang rasakeli vartang kalena luptang nija shaktim utkaha sancharya rupe vyatanot puna sa prabhur vidho prag ivaloka srishtim. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Oh, I'm just going to backtrack and make another point here, that now, at least these young boys who have some time in their life and their brain functions are a little fresh and they have nothing to do but learn, and they like to chant shlokas. They're learning so many shlokas. They should learn Sanskrit so they can have access to all this nectar. The Sanskrit language is a repository of all kinds of knowledge, and ultimately, of course, different people who are in different fields will have different opinions about what is the greatest contribution in Sanskrit language, but ultimately it is the rasa kavya, the poetry which describes the pastimes of the Lord. And this is what this verse says, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired Rupa Goswami. And then he wrote so many things, so many works which describe in detail, which in Srimad Bhagavatam is given, just a touch is given, just the outline is given. But Rupa Goswami and others, but beginning with Rupa, he's the head of the Sampradaya. We are the Rupanugas. Gaudiya Vaishnavas are supposed to be followers of Rupa Goswami. So he was the first who did this very dangerous, you could say, or controversial of writing pastimes of Krishna which were not known. And that's the whole point. Kalena luptam. They'd become lost in the course of time. It was maybe there in verbal tradition. The Vedic tradition is a verbal tradition. And that was not known. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrajamandal, he was looking for Radha Kund. And people said, didn't know what he was talking about. And he found a puddle in the middle of a field and said, this is it. So he was on the... It was lost. I mean, people knew that this was the pastime place of Krishna. That wasn't completely forgotten. But just like that's described, they still knew which was the Kaliya Hrad, the lake where Krishna had chastised Kaliya. So some things were known. And Mathura is just a, it was well known. Mathura is the place of Krishna's birth. So it was, and Vrindavan is still there with the same name. So, and the pastimes of Krishna are known, but the culture was lost, and the pastimes were lost, and most of the pastime places were lost. So, Lupta Tirtho Dhar, to rediscover the lost holy places, that task was given to Sanatana Goswami by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here we see Vrindavaniyam rasakeli vartam kalena luptam, that which had become lost in time, the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami, he first started writing some of them down, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states in his writing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Even though he mainly deals with his pastimes after accepting sannyas, and it's a voluminous work, but he says, I'm just touching it. Just like a little bird can go to the ocean and take one or two drops in its beak, in the same way, I'm just touching the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that even one moment of any moment in the manifest appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even Ananta Shesh could not describe that fully in millions of years. So, Rupa Goswami gave some idea. And later, others, also many Vaishnava poets, in Bengali, they described the elaborating, well, actually Jayadev, he also did that in the Gita Govinda. And then many of the Bengali poets, they elaborated on that. And later others, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is sometimes said to be Rupa Goswami come again. He's again given so many pastimes and bits and pieces of pastimes and understanding of pastimes. So, it's a very significant statement here that Krishna first spoke to Brahma at the beginning of creation. And there's another important verse which last time I was here, I believe I spoke on that. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, about Krishna, himself tells Uddhava, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, speaking to Uddhava, he tells him, Kalena nashta pralaya. Same thing. In course of time, things get spoiled or lost. Kalena nashta pralaya vani yang veda sangita mayado brahmane prokta dharmo yasyang madatmakaha. Krishna told Uddhava, by the influence of time, the transcendental sound of Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke the Vedic knowledge to Brahma, because I myself am the religious principles enunciated in the Vedas. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami compares Krishna speaking to Brahma and giving him the Vedic knowledge to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Rupa Goswami. Now, in many ways, any guru giving Vedic knowledge to any disciple is a reenactment of Krishna's giving knowledge to Brahma or Krishna's giving knowledge to Arjuna. It's the same thing going on with a different cast, maybe. Means different players in the drama. But it's the same drama, just like you can have Ram Ravana fight, and then maybe one time you do it with some actors, another time you do it with other actors, but it's the same drama going on. And there may be some, the different actors or the different directors may add their own little realization or have a little dramatic license, but you just can't change the whole story. You can't have Ravana defeating Ram. I mean, that's impossible. Then it's not bona fide anymore. So, guru speaking to disciple, it's a reenactment of Krishna speaking to Brahma. And on the bank of the Ganga at Prayag, or at Varanasi, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami. In the course of history, there must have been many, many gurus who instructed their disciples, because to instruct the disciple can be done anywhere, but it's generally considered best to do so in a holy place, on the bank of a river, especially, Basu Goshprabhu told me, on the where there is a curve in the river, that's considered a very good place to have a gurukul. And that's very auspicious. It's very suitable for that purpose, very suitable for imparting knowledge. So before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and spoke to Rupa Goswami at Prague, there must have been so many gurus who instructed their disciples, maybe at the same time, just a little way away, maybe. We can expect at Prayag, definitely in Varanasi. At that time especially, there must have been so many gurus instructing their disciples. Just like even now, in Vrindavan, so many young boys, they come from Nepal to learn Sanskrit and to learn Shastra. And they learn and they go back to Nepal when they've studied. So they go to Navadvip, that's described at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pandits would come. And then people who want to learn, they'd go there, because that says, if you want a job in software engineering, go to Bangalore. it's a hub. So there are hubs for Sanskrit learning. And learning Sanskrit doesn't mean just the language. It means the language is just the beginning. But then there's all different specialties one may take up. Generally nowadays, they just take up priesthood, priestcraft, some people would say. You can't translate this in Tamil. Priestcraft, it's a takeoff on witchcraft. So, in English, you can say that. But you can't translate that in Tamil. Priestly tasks, priestly functions, which will include some astrology and this and that. But no, hardly anyone studies. Well, in Vrindavan, they'll sit and study Bhagavad. And all the boys will come and they'll sit, and it's a duty. They know they have to do it. They have to come and sit and listen to their guru. Whether they're actually interested in absorbing anything or whether it's just going on as a ritual, that is another question. But they know it's one of the things you have to do. You have to sit. When the guru speaks, you have to come and sit and listen. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was one guru, but he wasn't an ordinary guru. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead spoke the Vedic knowledge to Brahma because it was lost at the time of annihilation. And we can understand that he imbued Brahma with the knowledge by which he could create the world. And that happens in every day of Brahma. He goes to sleep for a long time. Well, by our calculation, it's a very long time. And when he wakes up, he has amnesia every morning. So Krishna speaks to him every day how to create. So the Vedic knowledge, it's not just some knowledge which is spoken, some meaningless knowledge, but it has a very practical purpose for Brahma. And because Brahma has to create everything, he has to understand everything. He has to create everyone, the bodies of everyone and the duties of everyone, everything he has to create. So Krishna gives him the knowledge and gives him the ability to use that knowledge and to impart that knowledge to others. And different people have different kinds of knowledge, which they, and different species have different kinds of knowledge, just like salmon, one kind of fish. They live in the sea, and then but they're born in fresh water. So at some point they come back, they're out in the sea and they come back to their birthplace to lay the eggs. So how do they do that, scientists? If you're out in the ocean, and then somehow they're way out, you know, hundreds of miles out in the ocean, and they swim back to the same river they were born in and lay their eggs there. Unless there's a dam placed, and then they're finished. So that, that knowledge is given ultimately by Krishna, but Brahma, he has to give that knowledge to everyone. And so many different species, and within humans also, different people, they have different inclination toward different kinds of knowledge. So Brahma, he creates the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras with their different inclinations. So Krishna does that, and ultimately he gives dharma, hear this word, which is non-different from Krishna. And that means the ultimate dharma. When Krishna gives dharma, that term stretches right from, that term stretches, the definition of that term stretches right from the lowest level, which is the materialistic approach to varnashram. And in modern life, it's been extended to Christian dharma, Hindu dharma, which is actually outside the meaning, a real meaning of dharma. So it's stretched down. And it goes right up to prema dharma. But that meaning of prema dharma, which means love of Krishna, Vrindavani Amrasa Keli Vartam, that is definitely there in the Vedic literature, but it's not manifest. So Krishna came again, or comes again, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he speaks to Rupa Goswami, and it has the same or more significance than Krishna speaking to Brahma, which is, it's a cosmic event. Krishna speaking to Brahma is an event of cosmic significance. If the president of America says something like, okay, now we're going to get ready to attack Iran, it's a matter of world significance. It'll be in all the newspapers. It's a matter of world significance. But when Krishna speaks to Brahma, it's of cosmic significance. And that, therefore, it's recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's very interesting. I went through that previously, how these verses, this verse comes at the beginning of the chapter, verse 3. Kalena Nashta Pralaya Varniyam Veda Sangita, how Krishna speaks to Brahma, and then Brahma distributes the knowledge, and then people mess it up. So you get bona fide branches of Vedic knowledge, and you get people who speculate, and they interpolate their own ideas, and there are people who just come up with ideas which are completely outside the Vedic pale altogether. So, anyway, Krishna is giving that knowledge to Brahma. That's for the whole of the, particularly for human society. The salmon, the fish, who they don't study anything. You know? They just do it. They don't have philosophical speculations as to why we are impelled to go back to our birthplace. They're of very low intelligence. In one sense, they're very good intelligence because they can find their way back to their birthplace, but in another, but another way, they're very low intelligence because they have no power of discrimination, no critical thinking. So that's especially for humans. That's stated one definition of bhakti. It's nirmatra, it's for all human beings. And any person can take to, any living being theoretically can take to bhakti, but generally it's for humans. And humans here, we have to say, those who are above the platform of simply ahara nidra bhayamaitun. Because if people are simply interested in eating, sleeping and mating and defending, they cannot begin to think, if they have not begun to think about dharma, then they're not really humans. They have human body, but not human consciousness. Their expertise in building buildings and then again breaking buildings, and everything else they do, is not considered of any more significance than a salmon swimming back to their birthplace, because it's all within the category of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So, Krishna comes and he gives the knowledge which is ultimately meant to lead us to the platform of prema, pure love for himself. And he also comes to demonstrate his pastimes of prema in Vrindavan, and that's recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's still, to a large extent, locked up, so that even the Vaishnavas, such as Ramanuja and Madhva, who respect the Bhagavatam, but they couldn't find what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, what he gave to Rupa Goswami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Rupa Goswami, it actually fulfills the purpose of the creation and everything else that went before that. Which is, well, that would be contested, of course, by Vaishnavas who are not Gauriyas. And they say, well, come in here. Ramanuja takes us to Vaikuntha. Madhva takes us to Vaikuntha. But as far as the Gauriyas are concerned, and we may not speak this very loudly in public, but even though we're stuck here in this material world, having attained from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers this Vrindavani Arasa Keli Vartam, news of the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, then we actually don't give so much importance to Vaikuntha. So it's really revolutionary. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to external appearance, he was a madman. That's for a sadhu to be a madman is a good thing, actually. if they're actually mad with love of Krishna, then at least some people appreciate. Not everyone appreciates, but some people appreciate. Madman means his whole understanding is different from everyone else's. And his whole way of acting is different from everyone else's. He can't really interact with people very well because he's mad. So a Vaishnava considers that everyone in this world is mad. That nunang pramata kuru te vika. People are mad because they're performing sinful activities. They're not being Krishna conscious. Therefore, to be considered mad by materialistic people, it's actually a great quality. Of course, one should be mad in the right way. If you pick up a hatchet and you want to imitate Parashuram, then that's not recommended for Vaishnavas in general. There may be a case for it. Arjuna was told to kill also, but that's not now. That's for a different time and place and circumstance. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered mad, and generally the mad kind of sadhu, They're just mad, that's all. They're just disjointed from the material world. They're happy in their own blissful state. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was outside dancing and chanting in ecstasy, when he sat down with Rupa Goswami, he gave very systematic philosophical understanding. In other words, he wasn't mad in the sense that he couldn't interact with the world at all. And interestingly, although this chapter is introduced as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructing Rupa Goswami in the rasa-filled, juice, transcendental, juice-filled pastimes of Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Rupa Goswami would begin with delineation of the Atma, that Keshagra Shatabhagasya Shatada Kalpitasya Jiva Smukshmo Swarupo Yang Sankhya Tito Hichitkana, that the Jiva is extremely small in, it is extremely small, comparable to the cutting the tip of a hair into 100 and then again 100. And then people say, well, let's have a look under the microscope. But no, it's chitkana. It's a spiritual particle. And sankhyatito, it's uncountable. So that's how he starts. And then, eta brahmanda bhari ananta jiva gancha rashi lakal jonite kariye brahman. So there are unlimited jivas within the universe. And then, brahmanda brahmite kono bhagyavan jiva. Then one who's fortunate out of all these jivas, Guru Krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, he gets the seed of devotion. So starting from the nature of the jiva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, well, he takes a shortcut and goes into the path of bhakti. And he doesn't go as Krishna does in Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't explain in detail the paths of a materialistic karma, then karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just more or less bypasses all of that. He does refer to it, but he goes straight into bhakti. But he begins at the beginning. And later in his instructions to Sanatan, when he's describing similar topics, but then he digresses into a description of the spiritual world, which then again Sanatan Goswami wrote in his, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatan in the nature of the material world, the different places and different destinations, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu digressed into the spiritual description of the spiritual world, and then Sanatana Goswami also wrote his Brihad Bhagavatamrita based on this gradation of how the different destinations within the material world and within spiritual existence. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching Rupa Goswami is more important than Krishna's teaching Brahma. That Krishna's teaching Brahma gave the background or the situation in which this whole material world can run on with some direction as to how we can advance or from and get out of this material world. But the actual point, the highest point, is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he notes here that in the same way as Krishna spoke to Brahma and he infused Brahma with the understanding, the realization, the potency by which Brahma could create the material world in all its complexity. So in the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spoke to Rupa Goswami and he infused in him the ability to describe those pastimes and to make them available to the world. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, Gauriya Vaishnavas, pray to Rupa Goswami that when will Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, who is blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to reveal the inner heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when will he bestow upon me the his lotus feet? This Stephen Hawkins famously wrote at the end of his brief history of time that if we could understand some workings of the material world, then we would understand the mind of God. So that became the famous end of his book. We can understand the mind of God. Forget it, Stephen Hawkins. You understand the mind of God, you come to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rupa Goswami has described. They think that God, of course Stephen Hawkins doesn't really believe in God anyway, or he has what's that term, polymorphic? They think that God is the creation, God is nature. What is it? No, anthropomorphic is something else. Nature is God. So maybe in that way, yeah, it's a very vague way. But that carries on from the Christian idea, or the Abrahamic idea that God, the real thing that he does is creates this world. And that's God's job. He creates the world, and we enjoy it. They don't understand. Actually, the Vedic literature, they're thinking about God creating the world, but actually, he hardly gets involved in it at all. He outsources the job to Brahma. He doesn't have to do it himself. He just gives it to Brahma, and Brahma does it all. He's not. What does God want to do that for? It's just, you know, some. Why should he personally create the prison house? That's Brahma's job. Brahma is a senior prisoner, so he gets the job of creating the prison house. And as a result, when he's done that enough times, for 100 years, then okay, you get a pardon and you get out of this material world. You did a good job. All right. Or if he's not a good governor of the prison, then okay, now you get back in prison, and this time you're going to be a worm in stew. Can be also. If he still tries to enjoy it. So, what is actually the mind of God? That is revealed by Rupa Goswami. And that is being revealed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He doesn't give that credit to himself. He gives the credit to Rupa Goswami, but actually, in very simple and clear terms, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has revealed what Rupa Goswami revealed. So it's a very big topic. Very big, big, big topics. Overwhelming topics. And very sweet also. It's ponderous. It's significant. It totally affects our lives. Just like if the President of the United States says, okay, we're getting ready to attack Iran. We think, oh, what are we going to do? We better stock up on food and build some underground shelters. Actually, if they were to attack Iran, it'd be bad news for India, because India gets oil from Iran, and that would be, India's whole economy would grind to a halt. So start growing your vegetables, folks. Could happen any time. So it would greatly affect us, but not in a very sweet way. All the significance, if we see the significance events in world history, there's no sweetness in any of it. It's some country invades another country, and French Revolution, American Revolution, there's no question of sweetness in any of it. It's just one set of demons overcoming some other set of demons, that's all. But the Vrindavaniyam Rasakeli Vartam, it is, well, there is fighting and overcoming, or there's competition in Krishna and the gopis, no doubt. And between the gopis, no doubt. And between the boy, cowherd boys, the gopas also. But it's all very sweet. It's subject of poetry. And of course there can be militaristic poetry also. But the ultimate truth is what? Satyam. Satyam means truth. Shivam, all auspicious, and Sundaram, very beautiful. So actually I was raised nominally as a Christian. I never heard that God is beautiful. There was never there. Just not there. Thing is, you have to fear God. That's all. If you do something wrong, watch out. God's got his eye on you. He's ready to bash you. And you just hope that you can get saved, that's all. So there's no question of sweetness. We never heard anything. Maybe now it'll come in Christianity, now that they're exposed to Prabhupada's books, they have to adjust themselves. But there's no sweetness. And in fact, the whole thing, they emphasize, Christ, he came and he taught that you love your neighbor as yourself, and you share everything. But they don't emphasize that. They just emphasize this horrible torture and crucifixion, and that's the thing they're most attracted to in the whole life of Jesus. So, anyway, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, who gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita and introduced us to the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna! Any questions? I finished more or less on time today. I'll read these verses again, and in the meantime, if you have any questions you can ask. If not, don't bother. Vrindavani yang rasakeli vartang kalena luptang nidja shaktim utkaha sancharya rupe vyatanot puna sa prabhur vidho prag yavaloka shrishtim. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Kalena Vrindavana Keli Varta Lupte Titang Kyapi Ayetum Vishishya Kripam Ritena Bhishishecha Devas Tatraiva Rupangcha Sanatanangcha. In the course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly, those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. Yang prageva priya guna ganai gadha badho pimukto geha dhyasa drasa eva paro murta evapya murtaha. There's another. Murta evapya murtaha. Another transcendent, poetic. Murta api amurtaha. His personal form, even though without a form. Premala pai juratara parishvanga rangai prayage tangshri rupam samam anupame nanuja graha devaha From the very beginning, Srila Rupa Goswami was deeply attracted by the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Make a note for this verse. Chaitanya here is written without an A at the end. Thus he was permanently relieved from family life. That's Madhya Leela, chapter 19, text 120. Srila Rupa Goswami and his younger brother, Vallabh, were blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the Lord was transcendentally situated in his transcendental eternal form, at Prayag, he told Rupa Goswami about transcendental ecstatic love of Krishna. The Lord then embraced him very fondly and bestowed all his mercy upon him. Priya Swarupe, Dayata Swarupe, Prema Swarupe, Sahajabhi Rupe, Nijana Rupe, Prabhurika Rupe, Tatana Rupe, Swavilasa Rupe. Indeed, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Swarup Damodar, was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was very, very dear to the Lord, being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love. Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. He very carefully followed the principles enunciated by the Lord, and he was a competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his mercy to Srila Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literatures. Oh, I can make a note myself. Jai. So, we'll finish. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.